Hello, hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show where we reveal the geekiness of last week on a geekly basis. You see what we're doing there. As always, I am your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And I'm joined once again by the infinitely effervescent co-host of mine. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Oh my lord, that was a lot of background noise. Someone just went by with a suitcase down my hallway. It is I, Stephanie, as always, the lovely co-host, to a lovely co-host.
Aww.
How you doing this week, Dom? Oh, there they go again.
I'm tired, to put it lightly. You know, we're recording on a Monday because, you know, yesterday was Mother's Day and I wanted to go see my mom.
Why are you going up and down the hallway?
I don't know. It's flying. It's rolling, rolling, rolling. Don't copyright me. Yeah, I went to see my mom yesterday and, you know, of course saw my dad because he lives there as well, as does my dog, who I quite love. It was nice, but my brother picked up his motorcycle and we brought that back, so it was just a long day. And I was tired. I was sleeping the whole time I was home. And then when I got back, I had to write a post. Or not write it, but edit it. And it was like, the edits weren't exhausting edits, but I was so tired. Mm-hmm. And I'm just still tired today. So I'm absolutely exhausted. How about you?
I slept a lot this weekend. Obviously, my mom is not in this state. So I just sent her a Mother's Day message because we were both... She was very busy yesterday, so I didn't. We only just kind of had time to call right before we started recording. Okay. But had a good D&D campaign on Saturday. You were there.
It got good after a while. I was stinking up the place when we started.
Yeah, well, I was stinking up the place right up till the end. But
yeah, I'm a rogue, and I keep failing stealth checks. Like, it's really bad because I just roll consistently like 4s and 6s on my d20, and it's funny to think that on a d6 you're like 4s and 6s, that's amazing. Yeah, but there's 18 other numbers on that die, and these aren't the two that I want. But it was a fun little campaign. And oh yes, but before we get into the other exciting part of that, my brother and I got breakfast in bed for my mom because we're the most great sons in the world. And this breakfast in bed consisted of stopping at McDonald's and bringing her hotcakes.
Nice.
Because my mom sleeps deeply into the day, so we were still able to give her breakfast in bed at like 3 p.m.
Nice.
So it was a fun time, and I also ate breakfast because that's how I roll. But yeah, we should probably get into some fun nerdy stuff from last week, right?
Yeah, let's do that.
Can I talk about freaking Eurovision real quick?
Go for it.
Yo, this is such a cool thing that is not in America, but it's over in Europe, and it's a song and dance competition where it's just absolutely bizarre, and I love it. And I watched probably the second half or so of it, second 40% of it after the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the songs were good, and some of them were quirky, and I'm very disappointed in how Europe votes, because they seem to really love just... It's everyone I know that talks about it, my American friends, the people I follow that are European, everyone loves the absurd, goofy stuff. But the thing that always wins is, like, just some pretty person, doesn't matter the gender, not moving a whole lot, singing in front of a very pretty background very nicely, and that always seems to win. And it's depressing, because there's dudes, like, standing next to floating heads, wearing horse masks, standing above women, like, they're singing on ladders, or they're doing nothing on a ladder while a pretty woman singing, like, doing dance moves. And I wanted Moldova to win, but they didn't do very well. I think Portugal won. I kind of gave up after the first half of voting, but they had a commanding lead. So, fun thing. And Americans get to watch it legally through the logo stream.
Nice.
Yes. They had, like, a specific stream you can go to where you can just watch it on YouTube with them. But it was nice. It's something cool to do. It's cultural.
Cultural enlightenment.
Someone asked, they're like, someone said, can you culturally appropriate, like, while you're singing? And because everyone was looking like, we're not sure what culture this is, but it doesn't seem to be the one from the country that's participating right now. But it was interesting. But more in our wheelhouse, there's a lot of other things. So do you want to pull one of the topics out of this list?
Yeah. So let's go with cancellations and renewals are final, I guess, for the next season of TV.
Okay.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine got renewed, thank you, Lord.
Good.
What did not get renewed is Sleepy Hollow, which, if you remember, was brought for a fourth season after arbitrarily murdering its main character because the black actress playing her left the show because they were treating her so poorly. So
that's bad.
Yeah, and they went on ahead and renewed the show anyway and tried to be like, oh yeah, totally, this was always a show about Ichabod Crane. No one was watching this for Abby. And they had, like, comically low ratings this entire season and then got canceled. So this is both of my middle fingers up in the air to everyone involved in Sleepy Hollow season 4. You got what you deserved. So that's my 2 cents on that. Anything in this list of various things that you want to comment on?
Yeah, I don't have anything on that, but it is funny to see a show get wrecked because they don't understand their viewer base.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the only people still watching Sleepy Hollow in season 3 were people who were fans of the Ichabod Abbey ship. And then in the last episode, which I never even watched because I got spoiled for, and I was like, nope, fuck that, goodbye. They just arbitrarily killed her off, and I was like, I'm done.
You gotta just understand your fan base. You gotta understand, you know, you might not get the crowd that you want, but you gotta cherish the crowd that you get. And I guess that's what happens when you have contempt for certain people, I guess. I don't know what that crowd was. I wasn't part of it. That's cool. That I get, you know, voice of the customer is big. The thing that I'm seeing is a show that's coming in 2018, a Deadpool cartoon, an animated series for 10 episodes. Now, I would be moderately, like, happy about this if it was just Deadpool. Deadpool's always one of those characters who's always, like, one piece of media away from being overexposed at all times. Mm-hmm. I guess to the audience, our straight male audience, if we have that, you know the feeling you get when you see, like, the 10th Harley Quinn cosplay at a convention. You're like, oh, I can't believe everyone's doing this costume. Mm. Like, I think that's how everybody else has felt about Deadpool. Except there doesn't seem to be a landmark event until the movie where Deadpool got popular. He just kind of was there one time. So I saw this and I'm like, whatever, that's cool. I'll probably watch it if I get a chance on FXX or see it on some site. But then I got amped because it's being brought by the creator of Atlanta, the show, not the place, Donald Glover.
Yes.
And his brother, Steven.
Possibly.
Apparently, Steven Glover, because they don't put his last name there. I assume they're both Glovers, and I didn't do any research. But it's cool that there's a lot going on. You know, it's the FX head said, you know, the show's like Rick and Morty are kicking ass, so is Archer, so we should get a kind of an adult but like chill cartoon. So Donald Glover and his brother are going to be executive producers, showrunners, and writers.
Very cool.
if nothing else, it won't be racist towards black people. Never was one of my fears with Deadpool, but there it is. And apparently this article that's on The Verge, it goes to talk about how he's in other stuff, but apparently he's gonna be in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Donald Glover?
Yeah, is he?
I don't know, maybe.
It says, in addition to appearing in this year's Spider-Man Homecoming, he's portraying Lando Calrissian in the upcoming Han Solo anthology film, and is voicing Simba in the live... Yeah, and is voicing Simba in the live-action remake of The Lion King. Can we discuss the fact that he's voicing a character in a live-action movie? Like, are they...
Maybe they're gonna have, like, real lions, like... Not, like, stunt lions, but, you know, like... Animal... Like Homeward Bound.
That's... I don't know if this is gonna go well.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. But yeah, so, Deadpool cartoon coming. D-Gloves is at the helm.
Yeah, looking he's forward listed to in... As credited in Spider-Man Homecoming, which is... strange to me, because, like, how many people have been talking about him playing Miles Morales for like 100 years, or even just Black Peter Parker. Like,
how are you going to put Donald Glover in a Spider-Man movie
and have him not be the main character?
No, no, just not as Miles, because he's far too old to be Miles Morales. At least if that Peter, if this universe's Peter Parker is still in high school.
True.
Like, is he going to be like the Stan Lee kind of cameo?
I don't know. He's not. He's credited in the movie, but there's no credit. Like,
wouldn't it be wild if he's like he could voice like Miles Spider-Man. Like, he could voice if they just keep him in CGI, which would prevent him from ever being seen. But I don't know. Maybe he's just there. Maybe he plays Donald Glover in Spider-Man. Or Troy from Community. You know, this is Spider-Man Homecoming featuring Troy from Community. You mean Donald Glover? No, it's featuring Troy.
Lord.
Speaking of weird things like that, it's time for the Overwatch Minute. D.Va's coming to Heroes of the Storm soon. And it's cool because they kind of tease her and Lucio's ship a little bit. Cool, fine. And she has interactions with everybody else. But then I started to think a little bit. Like, D.Va's famous in universe for being a StarCraft champion. Heroes of the Storm has characters from all of Blizzard's worlds. So there are StarCraft characters there.
She knows her mind when she...
I don't know how you parse that. It's like, well, she's like, I'm a StarCraft champion. And they're like, what the hell is StarCraft? So I'm going to look up those interactions soon. But it's just a funny idea to me when you have, like, metas crossing. Like, they play Ludacris's music in the Too Fast, Too Furious movie and then the Fast and Furious movies.
Uh-huh.
But Ludacris is also in those movies as not Ludacris. So, like, does Ludacris also exist in that world? And how come no one ever points out that, yo, dude, you look exactly like Ludacris? Maybe he's like Bruce Wayne and Batman. Ludacris is the Bruce Wayne of car movies. What's our next subject?
God, it's hard to recover from that. Well, do you want to chat about this name thing?
Tell me what this is, because I remember, but I forgot it already. Let's talk about it.
A list came out that had Kylo Ren as Kylo, K-Y-L-O, as not a popular name, but a name that multiple people have named their child, like in the top 1,000 of names or something, for Australia last year, which boggles the mind.
Why would you name your kid Kylo?
Because even if Kylo was, like, a really redeemable, interesting, like, nuanced character, he killed his dad.
I mean, so there's so much to even think about here. But the one question I was thinking about is, like, would it be worse to name your kid Kylo or Ben? Because if you name him Ben, he could turn evil and then kill you. But if you name him Kylo, like, does that mean you are a Sith yourself? Or does that mean your kid's gonna betray you? Like, who killed Han Solo? Was that Kylo Ren or Ben?
I don't know, because Han was calling him Ben. And, like, he had that sad look on his face right before he stabbed him with the lightsaber.
So you're telling me it was Ben Solo that stabbed him, and then Kylo Ren was like, good job, bro. Fusion dance and put the mask back on.
Yep.
And Chewie's like, not today, hombre. Bow.
Exactly that way.
That was the dub that I watched, at least.
We were in the same damn movie theater.
Okay, this is true. Do I gotta... this is possible. We gotta see this Star Wars 8 with the same group again, so that we can match the cast.
Oh, yeah, that Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to figure out when I'm home for it, but we can swing it.
So for the last Star Wars, were you home, or did you still live here?
I still live there.
I can't remember. I'm bad with time.
Yeah, that was December 2015.
Right, and you moved in December 2016?
I moved in June 2016.
Okay. That's all fine and good. That seems like it was a lot closer.
Works.
Oh, right, because then we went to Ohio Con as the... Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all coming back to me now, just like a boomerang. The boomerang network. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't name my kid Kylo, though, regardless of all the grandstanding I just did. That just is a tacky name. And he's going to be called Kyle by everybody at Starbucks forever. He's going to hate you.
Just like everybody who tries to talk about him without actually summoning his followers on Tumblr. Everyone calls him Kyle Ron in, like, the capital D discourse because, like, if you use his name in a text post, it could show up in the tag.
So...
like, even if you don't tag it, like, depending on where the text that you're talking about him is, it could show, like, his... it could show up in, like, the... for the people who are following the Kylo Ren tag. So people call him Kyle Ron.
So there's gonna be... Let's use the stereotypical demographic for Tumblr. There's some 13-year-old girl on Tumblr right now who's avoiding the discourse and is, you know, going to be marked by it. Like, it's going to be part of her life knowing that, like, never say his name. So, she's going to be in it. She might work in a Starbucks in, like, let's say, let's give it another 13 years. She's going to be 26, working through college or whatever. And someone's going to be like, my name is Kylo. And she's going to hear that and have flashbacks to 13 years ago. So his Starbucks cup's going to write KYL asterisk, and he's going to get his cup and have no clue why she wouldn't just say his name correctly. She'll be like, Kyle Ron. He's like, and he's going to think it's just part of the Starbucks joke, but he'll never know that his parents were dicks. And scene. what would you name your son if you wanted to give him a geeky name? Just throw you on the spot right here.
Oh, God. My son?
Yeah, since we're talking about Kylo, and then we can do, like, daughter and non-gender-specific names.
God. Dang. How poncy of a name is Percy?
I like the name Percy.
People
might assume that you're being, like, fancy more than nerdy, but that's not bad. That's not a bad one. It's still better than Kylo.
Well, because he's the main character of the Percy Jackson books.
I'm also aware of that.
Percy is the name of the character Percy Blakeney, the Scarlet Pimpernel, was the first masked hero in fiction.
Like the OG Zorro?
It was the OG Zorro. He saved nobles from the guillotine during the French Revolution.
Actually, I think you mean the guillotine.
Fight me.
That's solid.
I literally also, like, am looking at two or three books, like, within my eye shot that have characters named Percy in them, so that's probably a part of it. But Ichu? Can't name your son Sonic, I'm sorry.
No, I'm not going to, but I'll do you one better, though. If I have a second child, if it's a boy, I'll name them Miles, if I want to have a nerdy name. Because that's a double right there. You get Miles Morales, of course.
Get the red Miles from Homestuck.
I wouldn't. And that's also Tails. That's Tails' real name.
Huh.
Yes.
There you go.
That's great.
Why the first one you named why the second one you named the first one after your brother or your dad or something?
No, just because you don't want to name your first child after Tails. Like, you don't.
He's not the.
You don't birth the sidekick first. That's weird. The first one gets her name can be Lena, or something, or Hana. I don't know.
You
know what I'm doing.
You hoping for your first daughter to be super gay?
I mean, if I'm her dad, what fate does she have? I don't know, like...
Touché.
Because I don't know what all makes up our sexualities. There's some biology involved, I'm sure, but some of it must be your environment, I'm sure. I don't know, I'm no scientist, nor wizard, but I assume... At least I'll have an environment that if my daughter is super gay, she'll be comfortable telling me a lot earlier than some other people would be.
Nice.
Because there'll be rainbows everywhere. Mostly just because I have so many figures, a rainbow will eventually occur. These rainbows will mostly just be green and blue. Not much of a rainbow.
Just like Lucia figure, Sonic figure, Lucia figure, Sonic figure.
Hey, don't forget about the
Blue Splatoon guy.
Squids, and then Rosalina,
Rosalie. You know,
and then Link. You know, there's lots of stuff.
Lots of blue and green.
Lots of blue and green. No transition here, but it's a video game, so that's more news. Parappa the Rapper. You all remember that? No, Parappa the Rapper. That's an awkward way to say it, but remember that little rapping dog from PlayStation?
Yes.
Okay. You ever hear of Elite Beat Agents?
I have heard of it, yes.
Okay, it's a great game, and wow, there's a really messed up level in the middle. It's not messed up, but it hits you right in the face. You weren't prepared for it, but it's a rhythm game on the DS, and it originally came out in Japan, so I don't know how to pronounce this. Would it be Owenden? Is that how you pronounce that?
Owenden, yeah.
Owenden. Okay. But there's basically the same game, but they got two of them in Japan, and they gave us, like, instead of just translating it, they localized it and gave us a completely different, like, story and theme, but the same basic concept and ridiculousness. But basically, in Japan, they were, like, professional cheerleaders, and I guess they didn't think that would fly over here, so they're dudes in suits, like the Men in Black, but they're still essentially cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has a problem, their base is like, "Ayo, go solve the problem," and like, we'll solve the problem by singing and dancing behind the person with the problem and just amp them up so that they can solve it.
Hey, you got a problem? Yo, I'll solve it.
Exactly. And you should see some of these. It starts out, I think it was it a girl or a guy? I can't remember who you're from. It was a girl. And she's babysitting this little baby, but she wants to ask the dude out, but she's take care of the baby. And she's like, "It's so stressful, help." And the agents are like, "We'll support you." And it starts out like that. And then a guy is a taxi driver. And then I think you time travel back to help Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, wow.
And then you help a washed-up baseball athlete fight a golem at an amusement park to the anthem by Good Charlotte.
so much.
And then you save the world from an alien invasion. but in the middle, the sad level, you help a girl, like a little girl, like must be like maybe 8 or something, get over the loss of her father during Christmas time. And apparently, if you do good enough, you somehow help his ghost bring her back a gift.
Oh my god.
And it's like the first time you're playing that game, you're like, "I refuse to lose this mission, damn it." Like, "Oh, I don't care if those, when I went in that body to help that Olympic athlete, I don't care if the blood cells lose to the virus. It's a video game. Oh, I didn't help that guy beat up the golem. It's a video game." And the girl's like, "When's daddy coming home?" And the mom's like, he's not. And then she just cries. It's the one time in the game, before you go into every level, the person's like, "Help!" Like, they scream. It's real overly animated. And the commander's like, "Go!" And it's like, he looks like J. Jonah Jameson, but like with less of a Hitler mustache. It's more of like a full mustache. Like, it's not the Charlie Chaplin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Go ahead, agents." And you're just like, super extreme. And it's so ridiculous. Like, "I love video games." But then when the girl's like, when she like hits her breaking point, she just kind of like clasps her hands and just kind of cries and like looks up to the sky. And this is the agent, like the commander. He doesn't do anything overblown. He's just sitting there looking at a screen like, "I know who we gotta help today." And it's like so understated. You're like, "What the fuck is this game? I was just riding a roller coaster." To like freaking like some Kelly Clarkson song, like, or Destiny's Child Survivor, having a guy kill zombies with peanuts. And now you want me to do this? That's a thing that happened.
Oh my god.
Anyway.
So what's the news item about this?
I just wanted to talk about that. Okay. But the news item is, the creators of both those games, Owenden and Parappa, they have a rhythm game coming out, and there's no details about it at all, other than they are making it.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Excellent.
It's called Project Rap Ribbit.
Nice, so Lucio is helping.
I guess, because this picture... Oh, wait, there's a picture of it! It says, well, there's a pose. RPG style rap battles.
Oh, wow.
Holy shit. The little teaser trailer just is kind of like a thematic thing, but apparently it's like a little rabbit in some kind of Japanese garb, and then like a giant frog guy, more traditional. And then, yeah. So I'm looking forward to this, and I know nothing about it. Oh, there's more details today, so I'll be looking up that after this. There's actually a trailer now, so nice. I'll look that up over the break and be back to you guys. But yeah, apparently it's you rap battle to rhythm, and that's, I guess, all I ever wanted in life, and I'll probably die happy, and I'll be a furry again soon. Damn it, I thought I was done with Love and Furry stuff.
You're never done.
Tell me about your game news before I embarrass myself, please.
Oh, yeah. So, my game news is that it was just announced The Sims is coming to mobile, which is super dangerous for me because I have not played The Sims since The Sims 2, which you had to buy all the different expansion packs for and whatnot, and I was addicted to The Sims. I got The Sims 2 Deluxe Edition and, like, 6 expansion packs for Christmas one year, and I literally sat in our computer room, because that was back when you had a computer room.
Oh my god.
I sat in the computer room for 13 hours the following day, leaving only to eat and go to the bathroom, without noticing that amount of time had passed, and then sat down to do it again the next day. I very much enjoy The Sims, but I've not played it in so long because I knew that if I got The Sims 3 or 4 when I was in college, that would be the end of my college career. So now it's here, and it's going to be on my phone. It's probably going to use about 90% more battery than even Pokemon Go does.
That's impossible. That game was awfully made. There's no way. It'll probably actually be optimized. Like, EA loves taking people's money, so the game will at least work competently. Unlike Pokemon Go, that didn't need to take that much battery power to run. That was absurd. Sorry, I'm an efficiency person, and that really cheesed me off in a bad way.
It's okay. I didn't know that was necessarily, like, a function of the game. I figured it was just because it's, like, a very, like, data-heavy game.
No. I mean, it is, to a degree. But it was mostly that, like, the game wasn't optimized very well. Like, did your phone get hot when you were using it?
No.
Okay, see, a lot of people with Android phones, our phones get hot pretty, I'd say more regularly than iPhones, which is not great, so I'll concede that defeat, but it's normally, like, when you're just having it on for a long time and using it while it's charging. But I would use at least on my last phone, let me phrase that, the phone I had before I bought that bomb phone, it would just, like, instantly just start cooking.
The phone
cooking.
Was a literal bomb.
Yes, like, we're going to look back on that and wonder why Samsung isn't a company anymore in a few years. The Note 7, great phone, better explosive. Should have released on the 4th of July, really. But, yeah, Pokemon Go just, it used a lot of resources very inefficiently. And that's why it was, that's why I did that. Because I've played other games on my phone that used, like, more stuff that didn't even remotely get to that degree. But that's alright. The Sims won't use, like, global data or anything like that, so it won't have to run multiple processes. It'll just take your time and money. Good luck.
Hooray. Thank you.
Yes. Well, it'll be good. It'll be great. Trust me. Video games are great, and they're for everyone. Well, I guess that's all we have for this first segment again, huh?
Yeah, I think we can call it.
Yeah, and then we're going to be back with pretty much the Steven bomb from last week, so hope you're prepared for some Steven Universe discussion. Universal reveal. And we'll see you after the break. Hey, we are the character revealers, and we're going to save this podcast. So, you like
don't
that?
Don't try. I see where you're going.
I wasn't even going to try to sing. I knew better. I hope you all enjoyed that music, and as always, you can find it in the show notes. please support those artists. They try very hard. And if they don't try very hard, that was really good for not trying, so you should still support it. So we're going to talk about this this past week's Steven Bomb, as they're affectionately called. 5 episodes of Steven Universe. And so I'm going to say spoilers ahead. We're going to pretty much spoil these 5 episodes pretty much as much as you could want to. I mean, I know they're all leaked on the internet. Even the episode after this is leaked. But if you care about spoilers, go ahead and skip this to, I guess it'll be the last segment. I guess we'll put a timestamp or something so you can skip to it. But just skip to the music and then listen to that and go for it. But okay, so here's what happened in these 5 episodes as fast as I can do it with as little fluff as possible. Let's shake it out. Okay, line 4, alternate ending. So pretty much Steven's looking at the old DVD or VHS of his mom telling him all about, like, how she cares about him, how he's going to be special. And of course, Lion's there. And Steven's like, yo, I think my mom probably had some other plans for me. I think there's hints here. He tries to decipher it. It's adorable, but it's like, it's nonsense. So he's trying to figure out, should I go somewhere else? And Lion's kind of like, oh, this would be a good time to just cough up a key. And I'm like, okay, cool. Kingdom Hearts reference. This is great. So he thinks he goes into Lion's main. The key doesn't fit the treasure chest. So still Chekhov's gun in the main. So he tries to figure out where the key could go. And Lion, he's like, yo, Lion, take me to the where this is at, please, please, please. So Lion is a typical cat and takes him to a bunch of places where there's no keys or locks. And then he eventually takes him to the desert where they found him. And he's like, okay. And then Steven's like, could you take me to the door? And Lion's like, yeah, sure. And just walks through the desert for about what Steven calls hours. And then even says, why didn't we just come straight here? Which is like, Lion's kind of a dick, but okay. Mm-hmm. And Steven uses this key to open a giant door, which is quickly revealed that didn't need to because the building has been blown up and you could just walk around the other side. It's essentially just a dump where Rose left a bunch of things, but there is another VHS tape. He found the tape there, so he brings it back to his dad, and it's the exact same tape that his mom already left him, but it was for, what was the name?
Nora.
Yes, and Steve is like, what the heck was that? He's confused, and Greg's like, we just had a boy girl and a boy name and a girl name, and you're a boy, so you're Steven. That's pretty much it. Like, your mom's not mad that you were Steven and not Nora. Like, soft
there's no secret. Yeah, you don't have a secret sister. It's just...
Yeah, there's no Nora to be found that we know of. But yeah, and then Steven basically comes to the fact that, like, you know, he's like, Greg's like, just be yourself, man. Like, that's what your mom would have wanted, is you to be who you are. He's like, okay, cool. And that's the end of that episode. So kind of a long build up, but whatever. Next episode called Dug Out. And Steven and Connie are hanging out with Connie's dad.
Maheshwaran, who's apparently named Doug.
Yeah, his name is Doug. Doug Maheshwaran. Also, his voice actor voices Winston from Overwatch. Just fun fact, just so you know. So he's on a investigate a break-in at Funland, kind of a thing. Like, there's something going on suspicious there, and Mr. Smiley's like, hey, yo, Mr. Maheshwaran, could you come protect this as the security person you are? And Connie and Steven head along with him, and they adopt fun little names, like little costumes. And I think Connie's is basically just a play on Carmen Sandiego, right?
Yeah, hers is a play on Carmen Sandiego, and Steven's is Mario.
Yeah. Accompanied with Italian accent that slips in and out. So they keep seeing, like, things rushing around, and they don't know what it is, and they're trying to figure it out, and then Mr. Maheshwaran's basically like, guys, it's never anything. Wow, it's normally just, like, some kids or teens that I get just tell leave, you know? You guys go on great adventures, and your mom saves lives, and I'm just, like, a security guard, and kind of is down on himself, but Connie and Steven are like, yeah, but you're cool, like, that's why we're here, you know? So it's all nice and good, and they found out the troublemaker is Onion, which at first you're like, oh, of course it was Onion. It's always Onion, but Onion doesn't seem to be owning up to it the way that he always owns up to stuff. Like, he's pretty much a chaos agent and is willing to be like, meh, 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 it was me. Like, but this time he's like, there's some stuff. Like, he's pointing around and they're like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, you sound like Yellowtail when we don't know what he's saying either. So they kind of like say, you know, just be on your way and kind of thing. And then you just see the shadowy figure approach Onion and the episode ends. You're like, okay, cool, an arc. Next episode, The Good Lars. Is that a reference to something?
I don't know.
Do all his episodes have his name? like the new Lars, the good Lars, whatever. We'll talk about later. But basically, it starts out, Sadie's like, hey, Steven, try this little pastry dish. And he's like, oh, cool, it's a pumpkin. It's pumpkin bread. Oh, and there's cream. This is fantastic. And she's like, yeah, Lars made it. And he's like, yeah, whatever, I'm cool. I don't want to be known for baking. And it was actually pretty easy. And then end of the cool kids, specifically just Buck Dude. And he's like, hey, y'all, we're having a potluck. It's like what adults do, but it's going to be us kids. You guys are all invited. Show up. It'll be fun.
No, later.
And then, like, Lars embarrasses himself as always, but the cool kids seem to appreciate that, oddly enough. Yeah, he's so genuine. Bingo bongo. I like that. But then they're like, Steven and Sadie are like, we gotta go, and you gotta, this is your chance to meet the cool kids, you know, bake something awesome. And he makes ube, something he used to always eat in his youth, apparently.
Yes, and we looked it up, and it is a Filipino dish made with purple yams.
Yes. And, you know, yam, it's kind of like a sweet potato. Which I'm like, yay, some other culture correlates yams and sweet potatoes. It's not just black people. So that's cool. And that also subtly confirmed that Lars is a non-white character. So another person of color. Very cool. And they don't make him any kind of stereotype. He's a stereotypical teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not, like, overly nice or overly terrible. He's just, like, kind of a jerky dude with a heart of gold. Or at least silver. Anyway, so they convince him to make that. And then, you know, Sadie and Steven show up to the cool kids party, which is just the three cool kids, and invited those guys. Sadie just had plates. And then and she thought it was embarrassing. But Sour Cream's like, yo, I don't got to do dishes now. This is awesome. And they end up, like, making music. And they're like, where the heck is Lars at? Like, we thought he was going to come. And Steven goes and looks for him all over Beach City and then comes back and sees his ube in the trash. And he's like, I guess he must have, like, didn't want to come. And so, like, Sadie's pretty upset. And the cool kid's like, darn, man, that's cool. We should have hung out. And, you know. Mm-hmm. But then they part ways. And then you see, like, Sadie turn around and that same shadowy figure that caught up with Onion catches up with Sadie. So you're like, oh, man, there's a plot going on. Yes. So, the next episode, Are You My Dad? There's more disappearances, and Steven goes looking for him, you know, because Jamie isn't delivering his package despite always being on time. He can't find, you know, Sour Cream's looking for his little brother Onion. He's putting up flyers and mentions that the Big Donut's closed, and Steven's starting to get worried, so he goes around and sees Connie's mom, like, delivering stuff. Sadie's mom. And she's like, yeah, I assume she was just going to do adult stuff. Like, well, she... Sorry, that sounded weird. I wasn't trying to be funny. She's like, she's an adult. I assume she just didn't come home last night, like, having a wild party or something. And Steven's like, no, I haven't seen Lars or Onion or her. So she's like, I'm gonna go find her. And she also mentioned that Jamie did pick up the package that morning for Steven. Khakis. But they just never delivered them. He just never delivered them. So, like, something's wrong. Something's wrong. So they're investigating where everybody is, and the Crystal Gems are like, yeah, we'll help out. And they did the Scooby-Doo tactic of splitting up. And then Steven and Connie are looking in the woods, and a gem approaches Steven. And, Connie, Steven's stuck in a log, because, sure, why not?
Yeah, that's how these things happen.
And the gem's like, hey, are you my dad? And Connie's like, no. What are you talking about? Like, you're clearly a gem. And I think Steven saw the gem just hanging around earlier, and she's like, hey, are you my dad? And Steven's like, no, I'm not. And then Jim's like, whatever, see you later, and just ran away, which was awkward enough, but he said the gem was aquamarine, and the gems are all like, oh, crap, that means something. And then they all draw her, and it's pretty funny. Like, was it? Like, Connie's was like a typical anime drawing.
Yeah.
Amethyst was just some nonsense. There was, like, a feeling. Pearl was the... I can hardly draw a circle, but it was, like, very detailed and good. And then Garnet just drew herself. and Steven's like, Garnet, you just drew yourself. She's like, I like myself. It was almost imperfect, same Steven Universe style. So I don't know what that would look like to them. But so they go on an adventure, and they run into Aquamarine again. And Connie's like, no, I'm not your dad. I'm Connie. And then she's like, you're a Connie. And like, yeah. And she's like, hey, Topaz. And you just see this giant, like, brick-looking gem come out. It's like, hey, Topaz, get that one. And you see, like, a bunch of humans sticking out of it, and you're like, okay, this isn't great. Never seen this before. This is not a good time. they're all stuck in such a way so that they can't really... Well, Lars can't talk. I don't believe Sadie can talk. Onion just is going to mumble. And Jamie's head's poking out, and he's being like typical of... He's being ridiculous, Jamie, and everyone's like, could you not? So apparently what Topaz does, which is an interesting concept, defuses into smaller topazes, I guess like any giant ruby would, run towards you Red Rover style, and then refuses while you're between them so that you're like stuck in their body, which I had never considered that was a viable technique. I guess it makes some sense because they're lost. And Aquamarine's like, cool, now all we have to find is this my dad thing, and then we'll be out of here. And I don't know where the episode ends. It's kind of like the two-part thing. So they're like, yo, Steven comes back, like, the gems, like, there's Topaz, they're trying to find them. And they eventually, I guess they somehow find a way, they find Topaz. Like, did they catch a butt-whooping first? Like, somehow? Oh, no, they keep trying to fight Topaz, but Topaz turns so that Garnet will have to punch, like, the humans, because they know that she doesn't want to. They end up not really being able to, like, have any useful attacks. And I think Pearl has enough precision, but just, like, kind of, like, Aquamarine has this wand that can just freeze anything, not just gems. It's just a freeze wand. Even though that's... Is that her weapon?
I guess so.
Okay.
I don't know, I'm not sure.
I wasn't sure if it was, like, a gem weapon or her weapon, but... So, they promptly, like... Steven's like, hey, he has a revelation. And they're like, why are you taking these people? Because Steven's like, these are all just my friends. And Aquamarine's like, oh, you know, we got a report from a Peridot, and they like gave Peridot's call number. And Steven has like the most horrified look on his face and has the flashback of while Peridot was still evil. And she's like, what is a Steven? He's like, oh, no, there's tons of you other humans, like my dad, Connie, Lars, Sadie,
Jamie.
Jamie the mailman. And he's like, oh, no, these are the people that I called out. So this one wasn't really a vendetta specifically against Steven. It was just like, oh, Steven and his dad and Greg escaped. We need to get humans back, and these are the only ones we know about. Might as well get every type. Which is actually a terrifying concept. The gems really don't understand any of these words. But So Steven's like, no, I'm the my dad you're looking for, because he has this plan. And you're like, I'm sure you don't. And Topaz fuses around Steven. I thought he was going to try to fuse with them. And then, because that would have been, to me, a better idea. But what he does is just get grouped up by Topaz. And his goal is ultimately to just burst shield open to unfuse her. Which he eventually does on the ship that... they left on, and Garnet and Pearl are like, you better hurry up, because if they leave on that ship, we don't have another ship to get back, because Navy took it.
Oh, yeah.
Which was in the episode that was, I guess, right before this bomb. Nice setup. So eventually they all get off the ship, and they're like, we need to find a way back. And I'm like, there's only one way to get back. I caught it. And then you just like see the door, you just see the ship stop. And then the door opens, and it's Alexandra, and I'm like... there she is. And everyone escapes except for Lars, because he ran and hid when he should have tried to fight back. And as they're all about to dismount, because Jamie doesn't want to jump off, he's kind of like, and then they just like throw him off. And I think Onion was like, see ya. And just swan dived out, like, no hesitation. Like, I don't care. Yeah, so then Aquamarine's like, I really want to be done with this mission, and just freezes everybody like, we're going home. Where's my dad? And Steven's like, I'm actually Rose Quartz. This would be more valuable than any of the humans. Which,
come at sure. me, bro.
Which, to me, seems like, well, once we take you back, we're going to send another unit to go get those people.
Yeah. Because
our human zoo was pretty baller. It was our major feature of the gem carnival. And the episode leaves with Steven, like, going off with Topaz and Aquamarine, despite three crystal gems and, like, four humans being like, Steven, could you not... so yeah, that's where we left off.
Yeah. Well, recap. Yeah, and so legitimately the next episode doesn't air until the end of the month. I'm pretty sure it's already been leaked, because I keep seeing people acting a lot more in love with Topaz than I think is potentially viable based on just what we've seen of her so far.
I mean, yeah, if you look at, that must be true, because I'm looking at, like, the description on Wikipedia of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, people are definitely,
reacting to Season 5 opener Topaz.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of them were enamored by the fact that it's, like, a very Butch character.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like she's going to have a bad fate like all the other Bush characters we've had so far. I mean, I think you get a pass when you're evil as, like, homeworld evil, because they're all evil no matter what their body type is, so. But she doesn't say anything either, from what I could tell, but.
Yeah.
So I think people are reacting to her. Aquamarine's a fun little fun little bad guy, though.
Yeah, well, I wondered if she was going to be a different kind of Lapis when she first appeared.
Yeah, I thought that too, because she has little water wings.
Yeah, but maybe Lapis and, like, Lapis Lazuli and Aquamarine are, like, similar types of the same gem.
And they must be, because, like, you don't just have, like, that style in your same show.
Yeah.
When they're not even remotely close. Let's see, we can do some science real quick.
Do some science.
I don't want to see the movie Aquamarine. They don't seem to have anything in common. They're not the same hardness. They're not the same crystal system.
Weird.
It's just that Lapis Lazuli has, like, a reason why she's how she is, and then Aquamarine's just water. And they're like, well, we have this other rock we could use.
Interesting. Usually there's some kind of, like, scientific basis for the fusions and the various science stuff.
Yeah, just from skimming, it's like an oracle of crystals. I'm not seeing anything that would lead you to believe that. It says Aquamarine would bring victory in battles and legal disputes. Also credited with curing belching and yawning, and was considered especially effective for curing ailments of the jaws, throat, stomach, liver, and toothaches. Yeah, I don't see any of this that would relate them to what their job was, but maybe. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here in this website, so maybe we're not seeing something. And maybe this is one of the gems they just got lazy with. But I doubt it. There probably will be something great. But, yeah, how'd you like the Steven Bomb stuff?
It was pretty heavy, you know? Like, it. Not that that's not, like, a common feature with Steven Bombs or Steven Universe in general, but, like, it went hard. Like, even just the alternate ending, the first episode, was pretty, like, emotionally taxing.
Yes.
And then it kind of circled back around to be to continue to be emotionally taxing at the end of the last episode. And, like, we didn't even really have, like a fillery kind of episode in this arc, because Dugout was kind of that, but you still had, like, the threat of Aquamarine and Topaz.
Yeah,
around.
I think it was filler to the last, like, the last hit, because up until you see the shadow approach Onion, you just assume this was a bunch of stuff Onion was doing.
Yeah.
Which, like, his episode's always...
This might not have been Onion, but I can believe that it was, you know, like...
I mean, because he's done. He did attack Beach City before for the sake of it.
Yeah.
One time. And he's just a miscreant, like, to the point that Sour Cream's like, I'm looking for him, and Steven's like, did you check inside the vending machine?
Yeah.
And Sour Cream's like, yeah, I did, actually, I wasted $2 looking for him, to be sure. So he's definitely, and they're like, and Steven's like, did you check that weird, creepy room in your house? And he's like, oh, you mean his office? Yeah, that was the first place I looked. It's like, Sour Cream's weird, too. I guess that was the closest we had to a filler episode, because then it just got, like... Like, as soon as the good Lars started, it became, let's, like, try to crack into Lars's shell.
Yeah, because it wasn't Rose Quartz related heavy, but it was still, like, heavy character development, like, emotional journey for Lars.
Yeah, and then to see, when Lars does something, like, skipping a party, like, what a jackass, dude. But this time, when you saw, like, the ube that he worked so hard on, and, like, you thought that Steven got through to him, because he was like, I don't know if I want to do this, man, like, baking seems kind of lame, and Steven's like, just be yourself, man, and Lars like, yeah, I think I'll go.
And then you're like, the thing in the garbage, and you think, like, oh, man, he was so close. but then you figure out he was taken by Topaz, so maybe he didn't throw it in the garbage of his own accord, you know, like.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I wonder if he did or not. Like, I feel like, I don't know if that's just inconvenient storytelling. Like, did he, like, because I'd assume if you get kidnapped, you wouldn't do that. You would just drop it.
Mm-hmm.
But that would also, like, be less dramatic. So I don't know if he threw it away and then got kidnapped or what happened. Or if he was just threw it away and was going to go in. I don't know. But he was at least at the cool kid's house.
Yeah.
I guess Sour Cream's house? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a step in the right direction for young Lars.
Yeah. I hope the guy's alright. That made me actually feel for him. Like, the wrestling episodes make you want to, like, slap him, but then, like, the episodes that are about, like, who he is, you're like, man, poor guy really is dealing with something and I don't know what it is. And then the Are You My Dad, I Am My Mom episodes.
Yeah,
those are pretty alright.
They're alright, yeah. Like, it was interesting, like, it really throws you through the loop because, like, you're like, there are no male gems. How is she looking for her dad? Like, who's her dad? Yeah,
that's what threw me off. And it kept making me be like, oh yeah, Topaz, that's her dad. I'm like, there's no male gems. Like, this is, it's, well, there's no male-coded gems. Sans Steven, who's a human. I just love how many gems there are, though. Like, how they all have, like, different roles and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, we have a capturing gem. She splits and then reforms around you. It's like, that's the weirdest way specific to capture people. But then it has a weapon. So I'm wondering if, like,
if that's, like, just the way that particular Topaz acts?
Is that just something they know happens to work, so they do it? Or is that, like, a gem thing? Is that, like, because we keep getting things revealed about the gems. Like, yo, the gems are kind of like a jackass race of species. So anytime they would capture humans, is that what they would do? Like, of course, Blue Diamond wouldn't lower herself to do that, nor would her Pearl. But, like, every other gem, if they wanted to capture a human, would that be the most efficient way to do it?
Mm.
Or to capture a bunch of humans? Or is that, like, a Topaz thing?
Because
Topaz
know.
Had a weapon. Just something to think about, I guess. I wonder how strong the diamonds actually are. Like, as far as, like, to handle one in combat, like, would a small army on the United, like, the United States or Earth, would, like, a couple tanks and a couple, like, ships be able to handle Blue Diamond if they, or Yellow Diamond if they chose to?
I don't know. Because, I mean, Rose killed one.
Yeah, but that was with the breaking point.
True.
Like, and that makes me wonder, like, did she win the fight or did she, like, sneak her? Because that can crack any gem.
She rolled a better, like, sneak attack than your rogue.
Oh, now I feel bad. But yeah, but for real though, actually, like, did she defeat Pink Diamond and then destroy her gem? Or like, what, you know? I'm just curious. And I also want to know what the temple is. Is the temple Pink Diamond?
I don't know.
Like a crystallized, corrupted gem?
Ooh, that'd be neat.
Like, what happens to Shattered...
I thought you meant, like, is she the image of...
Yeah, that's what I meant, yeah. Or at least the physical piece of it, because I wonder, right? Like, what happens to shattered gems? They turn into, like... They still can form into gems. They're just corrupted, like, real bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the corrupted, like, gem monsters are just pieces. So what would happen if you tried to make a gem monster out of a gem that you didn't, like, cut with anything else? It's just Pink Diamond, but we threw her back together.
It's kind of gory.
I mean, did you see those monsters that attacked Connie's mom? Like, are we above that?
True.
That would be incredibly morbid, and I'm not 100% sure that, like, Rose didn't bubble that and leave it somewhere. Like, in fact, I'm pretty sure she did. Like, that seems to be what's holding the temple together, right? There's like a gem holding the temple together. Like, there's something that's bubbled in, like, the veins of the gem of the temple.
Oh, like, that sounds right.
I wonder if it's Pink Diamond. That's the last place they would look for. Is Rose Quartz's house? That'd be like the
a terrible. Can you imagine? That's so grim.
It okay. I think it is.
Seen in the universe is grim, but
it's like a specific kind of grim that would make a lot of people be like, "Yo, Rose Quartz wasn't really a hero. She just saved the earth."
Yeah, like, Rose Quartz is super fucked up. She's like the Snape of.
and it's, you gotta wonder. Like,
is Rose Quartz the Snape of Steven Universe?
Maybe. Like, the gems are definitely bad. Like, because they, like, take over planets. But how much of that is them, like... Like, we're never given, like, an image of, like... Except for Yellow Diamond, who's petty. Like, are the gems, like, an evil race? Or do they just see other species as not really that serious? Because, like, if we step on ants, we don't be like... Man, that ant had a whole story arc. We're just like, who cares? It's an ant.
The rich interior life of that ant.
R.I.P. So when they're like, oh, let's throw humans in a zoo, I'm like, you don't really see them as, like, having a lot of agency. Like, you tried to colonize their planet and turn it into, like, a weapon or something. It makes you wonder if do they think they're doing a bad thing and are doing it anyway? Or they're like, oh, it's whatever, it's just humans, who cares? Because, like, if we frame it that way, then Rose just is unequivocally a bad guy among the gems. It's not very redeemable, other than the fact that we just empathize with the people she saved.
Rose is the vegan. The vegan of the gem world.
Rose Quartz is the vegan of the gem world. But it's true. Because that's what vegans do. Vegans have sex with vegetables, right?
Yeah, that's what I've always heard.
Yeah, and Rose had a half, like, vegetable baby, for the according to this metaphor.
And that's how science works.
That's exactly us. I mean, science's out the window when, like, a shape-shifting alien somehow shapeshifts into her son with the DNA of a human. And I know we're never going to get this answer, because you can't. But, like, what did Rose Quartz do to get pregnant by a human, but also become her child? Like, why was she pregnant? Like, she just decided to look pregnant? Like, because it was cool? Like,
I am signifying that I am slowly building up to the decision to become my child by physically changing my form.
Yeah, that's...
Because it's not like she was, like, growing a, like, a baby, you know? Like, she was...
Like, she couldn't have been, right?
I don't think so. Or maybe, like, the... I don't know, maybe, like, the gem... got transferred to Steven, like, she grew, like, a little Steven fetus, and then the gem went into him, and it was like, now I'm a real Steven.
Because, like, and we'll probably never see this either, but, like, what happened to Rose when Steven was born? Did she just turn into him? Or, like, I doubt she just died, and then it's like, well, here's her gem, but there's her body, that's weird. Like, I don't, and of course these are never going to be shown. I don't think the show is ever meant to answer these questions. But if this show's on for, like, what, enough more years, the people who started watching it as kids are going to grow up old enough and understand, like, yo, how did this kid get here, actually, by the way? And Pearl's going to be like, well, I can tell you, because I was there, in the closet, watching. Pearl would watch. I believe Pearl would watch, and Greg and Rose would condone that. They're a nice little group. And Garnet just saw, like, the future, so obviously she saw too. But I'm looking forward to see how Steven and Lars get out of the situation.
Yeah.
And I want to try ube.
Yeah, looks delish.
Anything else for our universal reveal? That was something.
I don't think so. I think we covered a good deal there.
I just want to go over two little jokes, two little funny things.
Do it up.
I find it funny that Lion was a jackass that whole episode and could have just taken Steven directly to where he ran to, but had to first give him a hard time and then walk through the desert and almost
kill Steven.
Parch Steven to death. And the other thing I like is when Garnet went to, like, punch the shit out of Topaz. Topaz, like, what about this Jamie face? And Jamie's like, no, Garnet, I moved on, I promise, I'm done. I thought that was, like, a nice little callback, like.
Yeah.
That's about it, though. I like the Cool Kids song. I like the wrong musicians. They are the OT3, if I've ever seen one.
Yes.
The OT. After Storm Pilot Trooper. After Jedi Pilot Trooper.
Jedi Storm Pilot?
Jedi Storm Pilot, yes.
Jedi Pilot Storm Pilot Trooper.
Storm and Wolverine. Yes, so that's cool. Here's some music, and we'll see you after the break.
back from the break. I hope you enjoyed that last little bit of music there. And we are back for our things we got this week segment, as per usual. Per the
usual. Yes, we're here. So, what'd you get?
Did you not get anything?
No.
Really?
No, all I got, I don't think I did. Did I mention something to you that I got?
I don't think so.
The only thing I got was, I mean, I bought a song, but it was on the podcast last week, so it was a cover of the Persona 5 battle theme. Very jazzy, very nice. I've never played that game, but I like that song a lot. It's really cool, really jazzy, and the guy who covers it is even jazzier.
The jazziest.
Yes. And then, I've been listening to the Team Skull themes, both their battle and encounter themes, a lot for last week. And they're stuck in my head, because, I don't know why. Also, I've never played Pokemon Sun and Moon, but I still think Team Skull has problematic elements, but they're charming as hell, and I think they're fun, so... I can do both.
It's your man who can do both.
Like, man, this is probably not great towards hip-hop culture, but it's already there, and they already have everyone's money, so I'm going to appreciate the good parts of it. I just like goofy stuff, and it seems to have been done, like, not with malice, but just, I don't know. Good music, though. Anyway.
Good stuff. Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff this week. For one thing, I got a damn cavity filling. Pulling through on my my healthcare, I went to the dentist for the first time in 18 months, and apparently I've got a bunch of little cavities starting, and one that was time to work on, so... Yeehaw.
Oh! I also got something filled in my mouth, so there's that.
Hey!
It's time for Abscess Watch 2017. I think last week I talked about they finally fixed it, and, but they put that false cap on it.
Oh, okay, so they had to go.
So I went back, and they put the real cap in. So apparently, they don't even have to numb you.
Huh.
Dennis just gets the little drill and starts drilling on it. And I'm like, well, this doesn't hurt. Like, I feel that it's there.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, she's like, okay, cool. Look around. Everything's good. Time to put the filling in. And so you know, like, the enamel stuff that you get on your nails? Like, uh-huh. the enamel paint that they have to put the black light on?
Oh, yeah. The gel.
They use something very similar to that.
They use that, like, the UV gun to dry it.
Yes, that's cool.
They use that for my filling, too.
Filling friends, that's what we are. Mm. Let's get in our fillings.
Oh, yeah.
Don't drink and drive, friends. Never drink and drive. Anything else?
Yeah, I got some fun stuff, too, that wasn't horrible. I got two more books, because I need books... apparently. Well, let's put it this way. Every time I hit 2,500 points on my credit card, I get a free Barnes & Noble gift card, so it had to go somewhere. So today I bought some books. I bought the new... Well, it's not actually the new, it's been out for a while, but the paperback edition of Carry On, which was one of my favorite books of 2015, because it has a beautiful cover with new art from one of my favorite comic artists, Kevin Wada.
Okay.
And then I also got another Rick Riordan book, because I didn't realize that there was, like, a book that's, like, kind of, like, a companion to the series coming out, as well as, like, a new book in the series, so picked that up, and because I'm in Manhattan, I managed to get free same-day delivery, which is still astonishing to me.
Swickety-swooty.
Just is so strange that that exists.
Yeah,
we live in a world.
We live in such a fancy world. Things can just appear when you need them to.
Yep.
Very cool, very cool. And, yeah. That's pretty much it, right?
That's about it. Got
everything. But word 'em up, we did get something. Well, we're going to have something coming up.
Next week.
So, as we're giving you our details, I think it's time to announce that we have entered the world of Patreon.
Yes.
Yay. Woo. It's going to go live on Monday, I believe is the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just want to get a little bit of... We want to just have some extra funds so we can support the feed for Simplecast. And as you can hear in the background, some ambient noise, possibly. We want to get a better microphone for Steph so we can bring you all better quality content.
Yeah, you know, and also that weird fuzzy sound in the back of my audio.
Like right now. and hopefully we'll be able to get to some cons, try to meet and interview more people. It brings some of the fun. I think we've had some really good guests, and going to events to meet them really helps out. So if you have like any amount, like a dollar or something, just go on over to Patreon, throw it over there. We're going to try to have some rewards for patrons because we care, but we don't want to really lock.
You guys.
Yes, but we don't want to lock the meat and the potatoes of this show behind any kind of wall, because I think that's a not cool thing to do. Correct. Especially when you're still like building an audience. So yeah. I mean, even some of the people I see with massive audiences don't do that. So yeah. Like,
not to throw any shade on ourselves, but we are not producing a product that's worth a paywall. If we're being honest.
And luck. It's, I mean, this is a free podcast, so it's a gamble. But sometimes you get some beautiful pearls and gems. But also, you know, we both do work jobs, so it also would feel bad to try to lock our content behind when we both could be doing better, I think. We have had conversations where $1 million would be helpful. So I think if you're in the position where $1 million would help, so would one. So that's why we're having that out there, to try to cover the cost for this. So it would be very useful if you can. So you can go over to that link. And that would be what?
It'll be Monday.
Yeah, Monday. So we'll post it on Twitter and probably in the show notes, because that's when character reveal is coming back. Transition complete. So we've been going through some tricky times with character reveal. Personal health things a little bit on the editing side. It's not easy to edit when you have bad hits of depression. And also, it's hard to edit when you don't have other episodes to edit. So, we finally have, like, a backlog. So, we're going to go to a once every other week kind of structure until we have, like, too many episodes. Which, hopefully, will happen sooner than later. But you never know.
Cross our fingers for that.
Yes. So, it's going to be character reveal every other Monday. And then geekly reveals every, like, Thursday
or so.
And, I think that'll be, like, a nice flow of content for people without being overwhelming and won't seem like we're skimping on everything. So that's nice. We look forward to this next part of the journey because it's our year anniversary today.
It is.
It's been a year. As you listen to this, it's been a full gosh darn year. Yay, we've been producing content for 52 weeks, roughly, give or take a little bit.
Can you believe?
We've had episodes with great quality, some with technical errors. I talked into my laptop mic for 3 episodes. We've recorded in the same room in a crowded convention center at somebody's house. So here's to more years, Steph. Cheers.
Yes. Cheers.
Cheers. But yeah, we made that work from over 200 miles away. Look at us. That's how good we are at podcasting. But Stephanie, if people are like, yo, the Patreon sounds good, so does the anniversary, but I want to find all the other stuff, where would they go for that?
All right, well, you can find us on Facebook by searching for Character Reveal. You can find us on Twitter by searching for @CharacterRev, 2 R's in the middle, no spaces, no punctuation. You can follow Dom or I individually, but you can find Dom on Twitter @BrotherDom, same username on Tumblr, pretty much anywhere else. You can find me @CaptainSteph on Twitter. I am finally back in the game on Tumblr, where you can find me @TheSnowQueer. You can listen to our show by going to characterreveal.simplecast.fm, or you could also subscribe to us on the podcast catcher of your choice. It would be awesome if you did that on iTunes and then, like, you know, like, liked us or gave us a rating or a review. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, the comments and the star reviews help a lot. You know, if we get something particularly nice, you might read it on the air. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And if you're an Android user and you're looking for an app, I suggest Podcast Addict. I've been using it for a couple years without any major problems that I could tell.
And no one's paying you to say that.
No one's paying me to say that. In fact, I'm still using the free version and getting ads, so... Look, if you guys want to pay me to say it, an ad-free version would be nice enough if anyone from Podcast Addict is listening. You know, gotta shield when you can. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Nice.
For cosplay. And that's, we're on Google Play Store as well. Is that everything? I think we went through everything.
Went through everything pretty fast, I think.
Golly gosh, we did it. Yeah. Goodness gracious. Great crystal gems. But yes, thanks for listening to another episode, everyone. Thanks for supporting us through this first year. You know, we're getting better, we're getting a little tighter, getting a little bit more regular and frequent and all that kind of thing. So, you know, we appreciate you all sticking through us, sharing us when you can. Thank you to all of our guests, whether it was a few episodes of Geekly Reveal we had a guest or all the character reveals. We appreciate everyone who's helped us so far and supported us and have faith in us. So here's to another year and many more, and until next time. See you later.